Hello and welcome to the EV Bids podcast. My name is Tori Hornsby. I have with me Rod Stuckey. How you doing, Rod?
I'm doing great, Tori. Good to be here.
So today we're going to give a quick update on the used EV market. There's just a lot going on right now with the election, inflation, interest rates, manufacturer demand, and even more. So we wanted to give this quick update just on the what the used EV market is doing right now. So we'll jump right in. And Rod, do you have a quick update for us on the pricing for the used EV market?
Yeah, I sure do, Tori. And just to give a little bit of history, as we've documented in this podcast series, you know, coming out of the pandemic from, you know, late 2022 all the way through 23, you know, there was a lot going on, and there was basically, you know, an increased demand, which drove prices up. This wasn't just in electric vehicles. It was gas, internal combustion vehicles as well. There was a very, very escalated high pricing, and we've just seen unprecedented depreciation that has happened throughout, you know, 2023. And so the good news is, after, you know, a ton of depreciation, that there's a lot of reasons for this depreciation throughout 2023. There was new vehicle prices. Elon lowered the prices on the new Teslas. That drove prices down. There was a lot of other manufacturers all coming and entering into the game because they've had the incentives and the kind of the golden handcuffs from the government. So just for a whole lot of reasons, prices were really depreciating throughout 2023. The good news is, a recurrent industry study has just reported some really good data. They do a ton of research, and basically what we're seeing now is the leveling off of the falling used EV prices that we've seen, you know, from even Q4 of 2023 into Q1 and Q2 of 2024. We're finally seeing a leveling out of this massive depreciation. So it's actually, a lot of people have been sitting on the sidelines, and it's actually a good time now to buy because sellers are starting to get more realistic with their values.
Yes, they are. You're going back to, you know, the pandemic. It throttled production from the OEMs, as you mentioned, and it also. I'm always interested. It's so interesting how the housing market controls a lot of the economy. So you look at housing prices, it goes up, people can refinance, they can sell their house, and they don't put all the money that they made on a house, all of their equity, they keep some back, and now they have spending money to be able to go out and buy a used EV, for instance, or whatever else it is. And we're seeing that these interest rates are really impacting housing sales, and also, of course, EV sales. People don't have the money to put down down payment now. It's just crazy where we are right now.
Well, but, you mentioned inflation, Tori, and I mean, a lot of things people don't realize, but insurance premiums are through the roof. You know, it's not just groceries. It's the cost of ownership of a vehicle has gone up significantly with insurance premiums. I've seen it in my household, and there's just a lot of factors that have gone into this, really, you know, again, the complete opposite of what we saw in the pandemic. You know, you couldn't have predicted what happened with the pandemic, with it elevating prices and the demand exceeding the supply. And then the exact opposite happens, to where all of these other manufacturers get in the game. Tesla continues to, you know, Elon, grow, make my stockholders happy, put out more product. Supply constraints, the chip demic, they called it, the semiconductor chips come, you know, they get those back into the market, and then the market gets flooded. Right when the market gets flooded with available product, all of these macroeconomic indicators that we're talking about hit, and it just created the perfect storm. And then Elon's going to, you know, try to, you know, promote sales through lowering the prices, and just bam, you get this depreciation that just everybody who bought an EV, not just Teslas, Mercedes, you know, the luxury brands, the Mach-E's, the Lightning trucks. I mean, just an unbelievable amount of depreciation that has happened. And so, again, kind of just to summarize your question, we're the good news is here we are, July, of 2024, and the takeaway is we're seeing a let off of, you know, the bottom falling out of used EV prices.
So what does that look like just in terms of affordability? So we're seeing it level off. That's good. So, you know, signs point to two thumbs up for the future. But what does that mean in terms of how much these used EVs are, you know, affordability for people?
Well, that's really kind of the good news is we're seeing that the stabilization for, you know, that under $30,000, which is kind of what we're calling, you know, the affordable number, has really is now actually 60% of the listings in the market are under $30,000, according to this Recurrent report. So that is a real exciting thing. And then, of course, we have the tax credit, which is for vehicles 25,000 and under. So we're seeing more and more of the vehicles, used EVs in the market, getting closer to this eligibility for the tax credit, which is just a huge driver of demand when you can get a $4,000 tax credit at the time of the sale.
So I want to dive a little bit into the tax credit, but first, you know, you mentioned 60%. So 6 out of 10 or 3 out of 5 of every listing is a used EV, or 4 used EVs is under $30,000. That's awesome. But what does that, you know, compared to what? What does that look like, you know, a year ago? Do you have any numbers on that?
Yeah. So basically, you know, there's more than 3 times the affordable EVs in the market than there were in August of 2022 when the Inflation Reduction Act was signed into law. So there's been a tremendous shift with the increase in depreciation since basically, you know, August of 2022. We've seen, you know, a huge increase in that affordable pricing.
So it was 20% as of August of 2022, used EVs that were $30,000 or under. And so we've seen coming up on 2 years later, we're right at the 2 year mark. And now it's went from 20% or $30,000 or under to 60% or $30,000 or under. That's a big leap. What about,
yeah, it really is.
You mentioned the tax credit, and so I think we should hone in on that because the affordability number being $30,000, that's understandable. But I think that a lot of people are interested in what that means for inventory that is eligible for the tax credit or inventory that is under $25,000. Do you have any numbers on that?
Yeah. So according to this recurrent report, the pool of cars under $25,000 that are potentially eligible for the used EV tax credit is over 30%. So okay, that's double basically what it was in August of 2022. So, and you know, we've obviously here at EV Bids seen this big time in our business where there's just been so many more eligible. When the tax credit first came out, we were like, well, this is really nice, but there's very difficult to find quality used EVs under 25,000. It was like, who came up with the 25,000 number? Because when that came out, we were still coming out of the pandemic and you couldn't find anything for under $40,000. And it's kind of like now you're seeing what was priced at $38,000 is now hovering closer to that $25,000 mark.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
Yeah. Or even 30, and so I don't know the math on that. You think it's that dramatic? $38,000 vehicle is $13,000 less?
Well, I mean, going back, you know, if you're going back basically 2 years, you know, I mean, just easy math, Tori, we've tracked, you know, $1,000 a month depreciation like it was no big deal during this bottom falling out. So, you know, if you do that math, it sounds, you know, high, but it's not that unrealistic based on what we've seen.
Yeah, I've noticed that number has come down quite a bit too, the depreciation that we've looked at on past reports. So that number is, as prices are leveling off, obviously that.
Yeah, I mean, that's
leveling
out. That's the definition of prices leveling off, right? Is we're just not seeing $1,000 depreciation a month like we were. You know, we're seeing that number drop in half or less, you know, depending on the year, make, and model. So
how would you say, you know, we've talked about, you know, $30,000, talked about $25,000 inventory. What about just in terms of sales? How is the used EV market doing as a whole?
You know, contrary to what you would think in the media, the used EV market is growing significantly, and that's simply a byproduct of so many more used EVs, you know, entering into the market. If you look at Tesla's 21 record year, 22, 23 record years, and then you look at all of the other manufacturers getting into the game, it's just simply bringing, you know, more and more used listings into the market. And so, you know, with that means more availability is going to equal more inventory and more sales. So, you know, it's growing significantly.
So do you have any idea right now, just the total number, like what is the used EV market in terms of total listings out there for sale?
Yeah. So according to this Recurrent report that I'm looking at, the used EV inventory has crept up over the past year to settle in around 40,000 listings at any point in time. So, it's, I think that's about four times what it was in 2021. So, I mean, just to put a little bit of perspective on that, you're talking about 4x the number of, 10,000 used listings in 2021.
And now there's 40.
Yeah.
Well, but it does make sense. Something that we've studied a lot in the past is just the total number of EVs that are selling. And essentially, you know, why EV bids came to fruition was because we identified that there's a lot of dealers staying away from EVs. They don't understand them. They don't want them. A lot of the buy it now, instant offer type of places aren't giving the, you know, good values on those. And we're selling a lot more EVs. And with that, I mean, last year we grew again 35% Tesla. You don't think about that, but the Model Y was the number one selling vehicle in the world. The EV industry grew by 35%. And we're now producing to where, you know, just a few years ago, it was hundreds of thousands of units. And now we're well over a million, and there's a lot more manufacturers doing it. So, what does that look like in terms of the future? Because I think there's a lot of people that, when you consider there were mandates, the golden handcuffs, as you called them, by the government, and now it seems that those are easing up. They've at least extended the calendar, which I think is a good thing overall. The EV market was healthy and growing fast when it wasn't forced by the government. I think they should just keep their hands out of it. With the slowdown of EV sales, with the slowdown of new EV sales, we're seeing a pickup in used EV sales, but a pretty big drop off in new. What do you think the future looks like? Is the EV industry moving to a place to where it's going to be really, really hard times? Is there still room for growth? What are we talking about here?
Yeah, you know, it's boy, this is a loaded question. It's so controversial, but EVs, when they came into the market, you know, they were supposed to be so much more affordable than ICE vehicles. And, you know, back in 2018, you know, the average EV was like $14,800 more than an ICE vehicle. And then in 21, that number came down to $10,000. And now that number is all the way down to $2,000 delta between the average new EV and a gas vehicle. Yeah. So, you know, there's an EV adoption report that Recurrent puts out. It's a really good read if folks want to go there. But the CEO of Recurrent, Scott Case, he's fighting pretty hard to claim that there's going to be a 50% adoption by the year 2030. And so that seems a little stout to me. He cites reasons such as the battery costs continuing to go down, the vehicle selection continuing to go up, as we've just talked about. He refers to the government programs working and just used EVs being more affordable in all. And so, you know, that is his projection is 50% by 2030. Again, seems a little bit stout to me, but you know, it's so interesting for me to have you know, a background. This is a silly analogy, I know, but you know, having a background in a golf cart community, as you know, Tory, Peachtree City, Georgia, which is you know, connected by 120 miles of golf cart paths, and people ride all over town and the grocery stores and go to schools and do everything else in golf carts. And you know, there used to be tons of gas carts, and everybody went electric because they were smoother and quieter and more efficient. And you know, they worked out the range anxiety because the carts would go a little bit further, and all sorts of reasons. So, you know, we love we're car guys. We love our internal combustion engines. But I do see, as the infrastructure grows, as the range anxiety goes down, and as the cost comes down, and the newer generation who loves, you know, kind of the technology aspect of it, the laptop on wheels, if you will, they drive these smooth, quiet vehicles with engine braking, and they're not going to know any different, and they're not likely going to want to go back. I see reports saying that EV owners want to go back. I see reports saying that EV owners don't go back, but it's pretty clear to me that, especially on the used side, we're going to continue to see significant growth, because there's just, you know, given enough thrust, anything will fly. And there's too many billions and billions of dollars putting into this EV market for it not to continue to grow.
Yeah. You know, there's always going to be, just on your note of people who want to get away from EVs, there's always going to be that. There's always going to be people who want to get away from a Chevy or a Dodge or a Toyota. There's always going to be people who want to get away from having a car. They move from a sedan to an SUV, and they'll never go back to a sedan. So I don't really put much merit into the data of people are selling their EV and don't want another one. It's natural. It doesn't mean that they never will, especially as things increase. And, you know, we've talked a lot about this, Rod, with the, and we could do a whole podcast on this in the future, but I believe that the range anxiety, that was a big hiccup. It's really being solved. I just took a trip from Florida. It's 450, almost 500 miles from Florida to, you know, to here in Georgia. And, you know, it added some time for having to stop and charge the battery. And so I appreciate having a nice vehicle, so I don't have to always do that. But it really wasn't a huge burden. It took probably an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes more in charging. But there's going to be even more charging stations put in, number one. Number two, solid state batteries are the future. They're going to make these things to where they can hold more power, where they don't degrade as fast and where they charge faster. And then lastly, on this note, I think the biggest challenge that we have right now in the used EV market is finding affordable battery repair. You and I both follow a lot of places who do battery repair, and I think it's coming to the US. There are already a couple of places that do this, and they're busy. But in the UK, I've seen this to where, you know, when a battery goes bad, the whole thing doesn't go bad. And oftentimes, most of the time, none of the batteries go bad. What happens is a little moisture gets in through the seals after so many years and vibration and all of that. And the card that measures for the brick, that measures the voltage for all those cells, reads a little bit different voltage than the rest of the bricks. And therefore the car says, whoa, battery problem, BMS, battery management system error. And the car, you know, gives you errors and then shuts down essentially because it's dangerous. And so if you look there, when they remanufacture that or when they correct it, and Tesla, don't have no mistake about it, Tesla is repairing these batteries. You're not necessarily getting a brand new battery when they replace your battery. If you have an issue, they're remanufacturing it because the batteries aren't going bad. The card might go bad or it just might need to be clean. The card's okay. So they have the software that tells you which brick, where it is, and they go in, they clean it, they isolate the problem, they open it up, they reseal it, put it back together, put it back in, and done. And you don't have to spend $12,000, $10,000, $15,000 on a new battery. I think once we can get to the place to where dropping these batteries and fixing them for a very reasonable amount happens, when that's kind of normal, then we're going to see a huge adoption rate because the used EV market brings in first timers because they're much more affordable. So I'm excited to see that happen. I think it's going to be a couple of years before we see it really coming.
I mentioned, you know, when you put enough money behind something, it's remarkable what can happen. We're already seeing, innovation of charging roads. I think there's already one in Detroit where you're going down the road. So imagine our interstate system where, you know, you just mentioned that whole drive you were on was interstate, right? From Florida to Georgia. Yep. So imagine the whole interstate system 90%. Has built-in charging. Another thing that we talk about from an innovation perspective, you never know. I mean, you look at the battery technology on in the lawn and garden segment with pressure washers, with DeWalt drills, you pop a battery out, you pop a new one in. I mean, what if you pulled into a gas station, what now is a convenience store, an oil change type of a place, and they, you know, you pull right over the, and they pop your battery out and pop a new one in while you go in and get you a Coca-Cola and a pack of crackers like that. That's the kind of stuff. I mean, I don't know. I know the number one barrier for me and most people I talk to keeping them, you know, that are keeping them is the range anxiety thing. For me, I've solved that because I have an ICE vehicle and an electric vehicle. So, you know, I have one of each and I just road trip in the ICE vehicle. But once they solve that, and again, I forget how many billions of dollars that this one of these, you know, Green New Deal type of things was Biden's Secretary of Transportation was given to build, you know, charging infrastructure. But again, if you keep putting billions of dollars into it and they solve this issue of range anxiety, then then really I think we're going to see the adoption rates continue to grow. So long-winded answer, but Scott Case, the CEO, the Boston Consulting Group, you know, they're making a valid claim that by 2030, we're going to see 50% of vehicles on the road being electric vehicles. We'll see. Only time will tell. But I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay, so let's just say that misses and it's 30%. That's a lot of growth. I mean, so there's a lot of upswing that we're about to go into or that we're currently in process of. So, well, hey, that was good stuff. Thanks for spelling that out for us, Rod. That's it for today. Thanks for joining us, everybody. For Rod Stuckey, I'm Tori Hornsby.